Ever wondered why some relationships follow eerily predictable patterns despite our best intentions? The rational male preventive medicine pulls back the curtain on the unspoken rules governing male-female dynamics. This isn't just another dating guide, it's a comprehensive analysis of how women's attraction triggers shift throughout their lives and how men can navigate these changes rather than being blindsided by them. While controversial in mainstream circles, these insights have resonated with millions of men who recognize patterns they've experienced but couldn't articulate. The book's influence has spread primarily through word of mouth rather than marketing, with even figures like Joe Rogan referencing its concepts. Women's priorities shift dramatically throughout their lives. Understanding this timeline is crucial for men seeking to build meaningful relationships. During the teen phase, 15 to 25, physical attractions and social status dominate mate selection. Young women prioritize visceral attraction without much concern for long-term considerations. This explains why even introverted men can be perceived as alpha if they possess the right physical features. This period often concludes with the break phase, typically during senior year of high school. As college approaches, young women face a conflict between continuing a monogamous relationship or pursuing new options. This creates frustration for young men who believe their loyalty will be rewarded. Between 20 to 25, women enter the party years, experiencing peak attractiveness around 22 to 23. During this phase, they enjoy maximum dating options while developing self-assurance. Physical attraction remains paramount, but status and wealth potential gain importance as women recognize their sexual agency's transactional nature. They begin preferring slightly older men as they develop appreciation for confidence and leadership traits. Around ages 28-30, women enter the epiphany phase, a conscious awareness that their attractiveness is declining relative to younger competition. This isn't about hitting the wall suddenly, but recognizing diminished capacity to compete for the most desirable men. During this phase, many women rationalize past choices. "I've grown personally. I've learned my lesson about bad boys," while broadcasting newfound maturity to provider-type men they previously ignored. Their attraction priorities shift from physical and dominant traits toward dependability, financial stability, humor, and compatibility. For men who've patiently waited in the wings, this phase seems like vindication. Their strategy of perseverance will finally be rewarded. The painful reality? For women settling down after exciting relationships, intimacy often becomes reserved and self-conscious. She rationalizes this by claiming she's doing it for the right reasons this time, primarily securing long-term stability and family. As one man painfully observed, "I got married to a whore that fucks like a prude." After securing commitment, women enter the security phase focused on maintaining the relationship and often starting a family. This typically lasts 7 to 9 years, during which domestic life takes center stage. However, around the 7-year mark, a psychological reevaluation occurs, the famous 7-year itch. This phenomenon coincides with children becoming more autonomous, allowing both parents to reassess their situation. For women, this means comparing her provider husband against memories of past lovers or imagined upgrades. From an evolutionary perspective, this timing aligns with when children become more self-sufficient, requiring less male investment. During what follows, the development phase, women experience an internal conflict. While craving security, intensifying with each child, they simultaneously yearn for the excitement they enjoyed in their younger years. For women who settled for provider males, this manifests as relentless testing, both of his provisioning capacity and waiting for the alpha qualities she hoped he'd develop. After children arrive, priorities shift dramatically. Intimacy becomes transactional, a reward for desired behavior rather than genuine passion. When confronted with his discontent, the husband often faces shaming. "Is sex all that's important to you?" At the heart of female sexual strategy lies hypergamy, women's evolved biological imperative to secure both optimal genetic material and reliable provisioning. Since these qualities rarely exist in the same male, women have developed methods to optimize their innate hypergamous nature. This dual strategy is driven by hormonal cycles. During ovulation, women's brains respond differently to masculine features, particularly in regions evaluating risk and reward. This forms the basis of the alpha fucks, beta bucks principle, seeking genetic benefits from some men and investment from others. Hypergamy varies based on a woman's self-perceived value and ability to capitalize on it. Women struggle to balance between cashing in too early, missing a more optimal partner, or too late, settling for someone suboptimal. In today's society, these dynamics have become increasingly transparent, as exemplified by Sheryl Sandberg's advice, "Date the bad boys, the cool boys, the commitment-phobic boys, the crazy boys, but do not marry them." Men are expected to perform. This fundamental truth underpins male existence. Whether performing wheelies on a bicycle to attract attention or earning advanced degrees, men must demonstrate value. Women's attraction and love are all rooted in this conditional performance. Many newly red-pill-aware men feel indignant that they should have to be someone they're not to maintain a woman's interest. The simple fact is that men must internalize their performance. You already are your performance, whether you direct it or not. For men, there is no true rest from performance, as women's hypergamy demands constant reconfirmation of a man's worthiness. The best forms of demonstrating value are unintentional and genuine, walking into a room with evident social proof, or showing competence in challenging situations. Whether intentional or not, you cannot remove yourself from the performance equation. You can cease directing your performance, but you cannot exit the game. The most powerful preventative medicine? Make yourself your mental point of origin rather than prioritizing women. The author notes he was most attractive when he didn't realize it, enjoying women naturally despite having little wealth or status. It's when he made women a goal rather than a source of enjoyment that he became needy. Your mental point of origin is your internalized understanding of how you fit into your own life's framework. While children naturally put themselves first, boys are raised to provide for others, conditioning them to focus outward in hopes of reciprocation. Making yourself your mental point of origin isn't about narcissism. It positions you to better help others and judge who deserves your effort. Women should only ever be a complement to a man's life, never the focus of it. Young men today, despite claims of independence, eagerly limit their potential by rushing into monogamy. Men should remain non-exclusive until at least 30-35, allowing them to develop career, passions, and understanding of human behavior. As men mature and increase in value, the balance tips in their favor. A single 35-year-old man with moderate success possesses two invaluable resources, time and freedom, the true currency of a fulfilling life.